Can you sell UTV podcast? Welcome to Up the Villa podcast. And I bet you didn't know I'd got that in my locker, did you? How are you all? Justin, what are you saying?
Trebian, look, that's about it. That's about my French. It's about 100 years since I was at school, so that's about my French. Tony, Adouat, la boulangerie, that's about it.
I'm getting into the feel of it. So, right, Villa, Europa, Conference League, up against Lille at home, first leg. Big game. Hannah, how are you feeling about it?
Oh, it is a big game. It's a big game. We're at that point in the season now where all the games feel massive, don't they? But this one, giving us a chance to... I know, well, we're in the privileged position of having the home game first. So I feel like we really have to get on the front foot in this. We don't want to be going away to their place next week with a big job to do. So it's slightly nerve-wracking. I feel like we're really coming up against some of the bigger teams now. And it's really going to put our squad to the test, some of our... player mentality to the test. This is where it really starts to feel like proper European football, I think. So the stakes are very high, but hopefully, like I say, with being playing at home first, hopefully we can get on the front foot. That will be the main goal for this week.
Yeah, it's before we get really into it, you know, we're just getting our initial thoughts, but it feels to me like we need to really win this first game to make the second leg as easy as possible and kind of in our hands, if that makes sense. We spoke about the importance of the last leg of making sure you don't lose the first leg and then take something back to Villa Park. So I think we've got to kind of look at it the exact same way, but the complete opposite, really, because... You know, no matter how good a team is, if you are in their backyard and they need to win with momentum in a game with the crowd on their side and it's tight and it's cagey, you're kind of at a bit of a disadvantage. So, you know, it's important that in this leg that I think we do get the victory. Justin, how are you feeling?
Yeah, massive game, isn't it? Quarter final of a European competition. Music to my ears. First leg at home, that's the disappointing bit, I suppose. I'd love to play second leg at home, but it wasn't to be, was it? So we've got to attack it in a slightly different way. No away goals. So that's, I think that's a positive, to be fair, because you're not like worried to death that they're going to nick an away goal, which could be catastrophic for us. So I think positive attitude. We want a positive result. We'd be lovely to go over there, you know, in the lead at half time, if you like. So. Dare say 2-0 would be lovely, wouldn't it? But I think a positive performance.
It's gone early.
The
back
of the week.
Yeah. Oh, right, guys. Well, see you later then. Predicted lineups out tomorrow.
if you get like a one goal lead, let's say it's 1-0, you're just a bit jittery, aren't you? I think 2-0 with the quality we possess these days, it would be difficult for them to overturn that, because I think we'd go over there and be positive anyway. I don't think we'd sit back on a 2-0 lead. So it's a huge, huge game. You know, Emery knows all about European competition. We know that. We know his record. We've gone over it a million times. He will know the best way to attack this game, and it'll be front foot positive and make them sit back, hopefully. And it'd be interesting to see them play, because they're a good side, aren't they? I think definitely a step up. I thought Ajax were a good side, but I think when you look into their season, they're having a disaster. I mean, they had an awful result the weekend. So these are definitely, definitely a step up from what we've seen. And I think the first proper test for us in Europe this season. Like, big team, big test, huge game.
Yeah, and I think the Europa Conference League, I think the name kind of diminishes it a little bit, because it's like Conference League. Do you know what I mean? Like in England, the old-fashioned like National League was the conference, you know, and the football conference. So I think it already makes it feel like it's not as big. But you start going through the teams that have been in it this year. Ajax, Lille. Lille won the Liga a couple of years ago. You know, these are no mugs in this tournament. It's it's top, top opposition. And the players that Lille have got, you know, Jonathan David up top, there's firepower. They're exciting. They are dynamic. This is going to be a really, really interesting game. So, you know, my brother lives in France, so I always generally try and keep an eye on the French league because he lives in Nice. So they're also doing pretty well this season as well. And Lille are just above them in the table. So, you know, yeah. We've been looking at it thinking, oh, imagine if Villa get Nice and we can, like, you know, just go to the games and stuff. So that we always keep an eye on that. So, Justin, what do you make of Lille and how big a threat do you think they're going to be to Villa at Villa Park?
I think they're going to be a huge threat. I think they're unbeaten in eight. I was looking back at a few of their results, and obviously the team in France everybody looks at is PSG, and they played them not that long ago, actually, and they lost 3-1. But if you look at the statistics in that game, they had 48% possession away at PSG. They had 10 shots, 3 on target. That's no mean feat, isn't it, in France? You know, that PSG generally romp that league every season, so that's a good indicator of where they are, and they're fourth in the league for a reason, aren't they? So it is going to be a tough task. You know, we've got to be on it. I equate it to playing sort of a mid-table to higher up Premier League side, I think. So, you know, nothing that we haven't sort of seen this season from us, but it's definitely a step up from where we've been in this competition so far. They do carry a lot of players with big threats. You know, Jonathan David's a huge, huge player for them. And there's a couple of others. They are missing, I think, one of their better players, aren't they? Angel Gomez is injured. But, yeah. It's going to be tight. I feel like it's going to be a really tight game over both legs, and I think it'll be the odd thing that's going to go in our favour. Take your chances. Keeper, have a good game. Defence, you know, we've seen our problems at the back recently, conceding goals. We've got to be tight at the back in this game. We cannot afford to be shipping 2 or 3 goals in either of these games because it could be curtains for us. So we've got to make sure we take our chances. We've got to make sure we're on it from the first whistle. And we've got to take them very, very seriously, which we will. I've no doubt about that. But yeah, it's a huge task ahead. Big game.
Yeah, and I think when you look at Premier League games and you look at, you know, Premier League over just one specific game week, you just really want to win that game. But European football's differently because there's another game after this. So, Hannah, how do you feel like Villa are going to approach this one? Because away at Ajax, it was not a great watch, was it, the away game? And we just defended and there was nothing in it. And then we got them back to Villa Park and we sort of just blitzed through them at points. So how do you think we approach this?
I think we'll definitely, I mean, like you say, I think we'll do probably something quite similar. From the reaction from the weekend's Premier League game, a lot of the players have been coming out saying, you know, we need you now more than ever. I have a feeling that a lot of the narrative in the dressing room from Emery and the coaching staff and amongst the players in the build-up to this home leg on Thursday will be, let's really go out and put out our best foot forward and get the crowd on side, because we are hopefully going to be that kind of, not deciding factor, but that little edge in a game like this, because we've seen so far that a lot of these European games can be a bit edgy, a bit cagey. We've had quite a few of the home legs at Villa Park that, again, other than the Ajax one, have somewhat been quite tight, and in some of them we've relied on last minute goals. You know, it's not been necessarily a walkover in any of them. So I think I expect something quite similar. It will be a tight game, it will be a competitive game, and we'll really look to use the home advantage to get on that front foot before we travel to France next week. I think we're in the position now where we've got lots and lots of injuries, as so many teams do. So it's not like we're probably going to see huge amounts of squad rotation, and we're also approaching the latter stages of the competition, so I'd like to think that we're going to go strong anyway. But what the message should be is, if we can go out and really put out a strong performance this Thursday, it means that next week when we've got to travel, we're coming off the back of a tough Premier League game at the weekend, it means that hopefully we can then just deploy that strategy of, let's keep it tight, let's just not concede. It's not an uphill battle, it's just, if we need to, we just sit and we take a 0-0 next week. But we can't plan for that on Thursday. It's got to be that we go out and really look to attack them, because we know that we've got the quality to do that. We know that we're a very good attacking side now. My only concern is the defence, because like Justin's touched on before, we're leaking goals, and they've got a very, very good striker who they'll be studying our fragility in crosses, in set pieces. They're a very good side in their own league. They're not going to come to Villa Park and just roll over. They're going to look, and they'll be doing exactly what we're doing, hoping to go far in this competition. So I don't expect an easy game. I don't think they'll roll over, but I do think that the Villa preparation and strategy will definitely be to try and get, hopefully, a significant lead going into the second leg, because I feel like we'll need it. These away legs aren't pleasant, are they? They're not yeah. Something that I look forward to by any means. But that's exactly what the competition's about. It's, you know, we want it to be competitive. So we shall see. But fingers crossed that hopefully, I mean, we're gonna still have Douglas Luiz in the midfield. That's a positive. We'll have a good enough squad to field on Thursday night. And I think they'll also probably want to, we didn't lose at the weekend, but they'll want to recover, because there was a capitulation in the second half. The team know it wasn't good enough. And I like to think that this Unai Emery side always seem to bounce back from a poor result. So I think hopefully it should be a good game. We'll see.
Yeah, we do bounce back well anyway. But, you know, going into this, what I like about Europe, what I'm trying to get to now, is the fact that if you have a poor result in the league, we've got an opportunity to put it right before we go into our Premier League game. And I really like that. The tough thing about the Premier League is if you have a bad game, you've got to dwell on that for a whole week, wait for the next one, and then sort of like react to it. So Europe gives us a chance to sort of set ourselves better, recover, get more confidence, and fire into the Premier League games at the weekend. So we'll have a look on SofaScore now then. So the best football app going, you can all download this at your fingertips and utilise this brilliant, brilliant app. I'll put the link to it in the description of this episode. So Lille are currently fourth in their league on 49 points, have scored 42 goals, conceded 25 goals. They're averaging a goal every, 1.5 goals per game. They have in 56.6% possession, which is pretty, pretty decent. 85.8% passing accuracy, 91.8% in their own half, which is absolutely fantastic numbers. 76.2% in the opposition half. They've kept 14 clean sheets. They're conceding 0.9 per game. So that's less than one goal a game, which is pretty much title winning defense, really. If you look at teams in the Premier League, if you're 0.9, then you're doing something very, very well. I know the league's are completely different. They're winning 52.3% of their duels, 52.8% of their ground duels, 54.4% of their aerial duels. Their best player so far this season is Zegrova on 7.27. He's their right-sided winger. Jonathan David, their centre-forward, their talisman, is on 7.26. Angel Gomez, who's injured for this game, is at 7.25. We have a little look at some of their other stats. Goals, we've got Jonathan David, top scorer, with 16 goals. We'll combine it and we'll have a look at the goals and the assists. David's got 18. Zegrova has got 10. Angel Gomez has got 6. So if we just have a little look at their game against Marseille, which they played really, really well. Their goals are good. They've got Remy Cabella as well, who's a good player. I will go into more detail on the episode for the predicted lineup, which will be out on Wednesday as well. So they play with a 4-3-3, and we can have a look at their average positions. We've got Jonathan David, we've got Zegrova on that right-hand side, and then we've got Cabella on that left-hand side. Justin, talk to me a little bit about Jonathan David. He's a player that hasn't ever really been linked with Villa, but Villa fans have always looked at him to be a player that could potentially come into Villa.
Yeah, excellent player, isn't he? I think his statistics there, his goal scoring, he's up there with some of the best strikers in the league, isn't he? So I think, you know, we've got to take him very, very seriously. He's going to be their main threat, obviously. He's only 24. So he's got a chance to get even better, hasn't he? So, you know, runs that front line really well. They do play with that front three, so he's sort of the focal point of that front three, and he looks to get on the end of things. So 16 goals, you know, it's akin to what Ollie Watkins has done for us this season. You know, very, very similar seasons if you look at both sides, really. Both in the top four, both probably punching a little bit above their weight, although they have had a lot of success recently in their league over the last three or four seasons. It's going to be tough. I don't want to keep harping on the point, but we're conceding goals, and it is a concern. So when you come up against a striker that's in decent form and he's going to be a threat, we've got to get hold of him, haven't we? You know, it'll be interesting to see the centre-half partnership. I think I put on Twitter the other day that, you know, I think that it's been 10 or 11 games since we've had the same back four play, and it's got to have an impact. You know, it has to have an impact on where we play. I know that the double pivot as well has changed a lot through injuries and suspensions and stuff. So that back six that is sort of where we base our strength on and where we can push, where we can attack from. So if you can defend from Watkins, the back four, the double pivot, and they're all playing week in, week out, game in, game out, then you've got a really strong base then to attack from. But when that's changed game in, game out, there's no continuity, is there? And you need that continuity at the back. You need those partnerships that are building game in, game out, so that everybody knows what the other player's doing. And we've got some fine, fine defenders, you know. There's no doubt about it. Pau Torres is a wonderful defender, ball-playing centre-half. You know, Carlos is brilliant in the air. He's solid as a rock. You know, we've got decent full-backs. It's just got to come together. It's just not clicking at the moment. So a player like Jonathan David, if I was him, I'd be coming to Villa Park and I would be thinking, yeah, I'm going to just absolutely run at these. You know, I'm going to just try and, you know, play off their you know, worries at the back, you know. So whether he'll go man-to-man or let him float and try and pick up in space, I don't really know how he'll attack it. But I can see maybe Clement Longley coming back in on Thursday anyway, because he generally plays a lot of these European games. So I did like the Longley-Pau Torres partnership when it played together, when we had no choice. No disrespect to Longley, but I think he's probably a little bit more experienced in Europe, you know, over his career. So yeah, huge threat. And these two-legged games are very difficult to work out. You know, how do you go about it? Do you try and go big in the first game and get a lead? How does that affect your mentality for the second leg? Do you go and sit back thinking, okay, we're 1 or 2 nil up, and then that gives the other team momentum? We've seen us give teams momentum this season, the Spurs game specifically, and the away at Ajax, although then they couldn't capitalise on us sitting back. But I think these are a different kettle of fish. I don't think we can go over there do to them what we did to Ajax, because Ajax weren't in good form. I think it's worrying. For me, I just want to see a positive approach to both legs. The best team will win, and hopefully we can edge it.
Definitely. Hannah, it's been a long time since you've seen us in Europe. Have you actually seen us in Europe before? You haven't, have you?
I was a kid, so I can't really say. Okay. I have, no.
Yeah, so yeah, let's say no then. So how have you found it, and how do you think this will put us in, like, vision and the, like, will it put us in good stead for the future?
I think more than anything, I mean, obviously, as a fan, as a young fan, it's brilliant because it's given us the taste back of competing with the best of the best in certain competitions. Obviously, we're not the best of the best, but we're edging towards that. I think more than anything, from like a club level, I think it will have given the players a taste of what it's like. Lots of them, especially some of the ones that we've had for quite a few years at the club now, will have never played in Europe, so that's obviously a great experience for them. And then it's, you know, given them more incentive to want to reach that next level, whether that's Champions League or Europa League. It's, you know, this is how amazing it is to play in a European competition, playing other teams that are, you know, in their own respective leagues, at the top of their game. But also, I think if we look further forward now into what it means for the club, we know that we're desperate to qualify for the Champions League this season. And I think that becomes so much more than a footballing proposition, doesn't it? It changes the way we function as a business, as a club. The money it brings in from a commercial perspective, a match day and a broadcast, you know, the money that it will bring in for us as a club is so huge. And obviously that's not filtering down to the dressing room, but board and ownership level, they'll be absolutely gunning for us to not only succeed in the competition that we're in this season, but to qualify for the Champions League this season and for seasons following, because you can't underestimate the appeal of a Champions League club to attract other talent as well. We're looking to really solidify ourselves now. We don't want to just, you know, go far in the Conference League and then crash out of Europe next season. This needs to be something that we are watching and witnessing every season now. We can't drop out, because I feel like as soon as that happens, we've seen it, haven't we? Well, especially me, I grew up never seeing Villa in Europe. So as soon as you drop out, it can become so difficult to get back into these competitions. So we're going to look to really want to maintain it. Winning the conference this year would be massive. I don't care what you think about the competition, its integrity, its significance. It's a European competition and we're playing with good teams. And it is, it's an accolade, and it's a chance for players to get used to the playing in the midweek as well, because again, a lot of them were playing once a week in the Premier League and then having a nice week off. So the routine of it, it's like a drumbeat, isn't it? It's like players that play in the Championship, they get used to that twice a week. So every single aspect of playing in Europe, both for fans, for players, for management, for ownership, is so important for every aspect. Like, I can't really understate it enough, the business of the club, sustainability from a financial perspective, the fan experience, the player attraction, the player experience. We have to do well this year and in the years coming, and I'm sure that it will be a massive priority. If we look back to Emery's first press conference when he joined the Villa, his dream was to play with Aston Villa in Europe. He got us there against the odds last season. I have no doubt everything he does for the next 6 weeks will be to help us hopefully win this trophy, but to get us into the Champions League, and that will be his priority.
Love it. Absolutely love that from you. Right. And what I will say about that as well is something that you mentioned. Like, if it's no fluke that a team that sort of wins League One then goes into the Championship and then he's at the top end of the champ, like Ipswich. And what I'm trying to get is, if, like, you want winning to be a habit, and we want winning trophies to become a habit. And once you get one, then you've already got that experience of winning one, and it should become easier. So I think, Def, I'm with you. I think if we can win it, then it puts us in great stead to go and try and win something else. And then we can just snowball with that, really. So we're going to end on a bit of a game I've come up with. Quite a unique one. And right. So here's my game. So, we all know higher and lower, right? You know the game higher and lower with a deck of cards? Yeah. We are going to do that, and I want you guys at home to play along at home with Aston Villa's higher or lower passing accuracy of the season, right? So, we're going to start off with Emi Martinez on 82%, right? Now, has Douglas Luiz got higher or lower than 82% passing accuracy?
Is this a combined effort?
Well, Justin, I'm going to say higher.
What was Martinez's?
82. This is over the course of the Premier League.
I think it's less, because I think Louis Luis is going to be passing more, isn't he?
He is, but does like kicking a ball out of play from a goal kick count as like a misplaced pass, mm-hmm. or like kicking it straight to like the opposition from a goal kick? That would
cut. My gut would be
all the
that
times he does a long pass.
I just think my gut instinct is that he plays a lot of short passes and that a lot of them are not under pressure, yeah. are they? Where's Dougie?
But can I just jump in one thing? You've got to go on a bit of a run with these. So I'm gonna help you along slightly and I'm going to say stick with Hannah on this one. All right?
Okay. All right?
Higher. Okay. Higher. So Douglas Luiz has a higher passing accuracy than Martinez, 89% from Douglas Luiz. Right? So, brilliant. Matty Cash, higher or lower than Douglas Luiz on 89%?
I mean, 89 bloody high in it, so...
Yeah. I'm going to go lower just because I think there's not going to be many players in the squad that are better than 89.
Correct. Zaniolo, higher or lower than 84%?
So, Cash is with 84.
Yeah,
you got to think the percentages will all be like the different weights.
How many games has he played?
That's what I mean. The weight of the percentage is going to be so much different because he's played so far fewer games.
So 84. We're off 84 now, are we?
Mm-hmm.
That's so hard. I'm going to say lower.
I'll say lower. Yeah,
correct.
Read my mind, Hannah.
71% for Zaniolo. Next up, we've got Moussa Diaby.
So you'd
I feel like 71 is quite low. So I'd like to think Diaby is better than 71%. I'm going to
okay,
go higher.
We'll go with that. Yep. Moussa Diaby is on 84%. Next up, Pau Torres, higher or lower than 84%?
Higher.
I'm getting straight higher.
87%.
Yeah.
John McGinn, higher or lower than 87%?
Ooh. 87%.
You're doing quite well, actually. You're on a roll now.
I'm saying less, 87. I think 87 is quite high.
Okay, yeah. That's same, correct Hannah. As well. That's no. correct. John McGinn is on 83%.
83.
Okay. Next up, we've got Luca Dean.
Again.
I think his is going to be really high, you know.
What are we on, 83?
Because think about how many...
Yeah.
His passes are normally just still on the back line or just up the left wing and I feel like they tend to land.
I sort of feel they're all going to be about the same now. I think they're all going to be 80. I think they're all 80 to 90.
Unless it's like the cross, if he's putting crosses in and they're not landing to a Villa.
Unless he's putting is there anyone that's exactly the same?
No, there's not.
What was it, 80 times?
83.
Correct.
I'll go with you, Justin. Yeah.
Correct. Luca Dean is on 82.
Oh,
right.
100%.
This is the tough one. I think if you get this, you're going to be on an even bigger roll. So Luca Dean is on 82%. Moreno, higher or lower than 82?
I think I would be tempted to go for higher.
He's more attacking, isn't he? Yeah, I think I probably would.
I feel like correct. He's going to have a bigger volume of passing. So,
yeah.
83%, 1% higher than Luca Dean. Okay, next up, Ezri Konsa, higher or lower than 83?
Got instinct is higher. Konsa, he's just playing out the back.
Konsa is a he's in a Rolls Royce and he never gives ball.
Yeah,
he's a Rolls Royce.
93% consent.
93. Whoever's next better lower.
Better than Pau Torres. Next up, you've got Longley.
It's got to be lower than 93, surely.
I feel like it has to be.
90?
Yeah.
Next up, Tielemans.
It's good though, isn't it? It's good that he's 90.
Yeah.
Again, a player that you would class as a good passer of the ball, but I'd be surprised if he's anywhere around 90. So lower, yeah.
85. Bailey.
You got one wrong, yeah.
No, you want this is no. What I'm saying. You want a roll. There's not many left. So you've got Bailey now, higher or lower than 85.
He's a little bit more. He's more creative, yeah, which means it doesn't always come up. Yeah.
Plus, he's always trying them flicks, isn't he, and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. 78%. You got it right. Right. You got three more to win the whole thing. So, Ollie Watkins, higher or lower than 78?
See, this is probably the hardest one yet for me.
Again, as a striker, it's difficult, isn't it? 78?
Yeah.
See, Bailey that was 78. But think about how many... I feel like it's going to be higher.
You feel like he's throwing a curveball in here, though?
No, I think this is going to be higher. I feel like his link-up play is very good because they tend to be straightforward, like through balls. And then most of his passing then, I mean, it's going to be shots rather than... And I don't think a shot would class as a passing.
Yeah, my thought process is the ball goes into him and he's always turning into trouble, so he's always trying to lay it off under pressure. I'm going to say lower, but you reckon higher?
Yeah.
Oh.
Should we flip a coin?
What are you going with?
Oh. I'm going to go with Justin because he's older and wiser.
No, I was going to say I'll go with you, Hannah. What we're doing? Right. You make a decision, Hannah. You make a decision.
I'll go with you.
I'm saying lower, you're saying higher.
Right, no.
You're
going with me. So Leon Bailey, 78%, and you've gone lower. Ollie Watkins is at 76. Right, two more. Next up, Tim Irabunam. Higher or lower than 76?
Higher.
Okay, right.
Not played that many games, and when he's come on, I feel like he's done quite well.
90%.
What do you think, Justin?
You got it.
No, I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that.
What can I say?
The final one. Morgan Rogers, higher or lower than 90?
Is the last one going to be a curveball? I feel like it's got to be less than 90, however. I feel like he's probably given the ball away more than Tim has in the amount of time.
Yeah, it's got to be lower than 90, hasn't
it? I'd say lower.
Yeah.
Got them all right. Well done. That's so difficult to get them all right. Well done.
We're on this channel.
So, at home, let us know how you've got on. Maybe we can do another one on something different. So, we'll go with score predictions then. Hannah, what are you going with?
I am going to go with a 2-0. We desperately need a clean sheet, and I think we're going to score goals. So, 2-0.
We know Justin's gone 2-0. Are you sticking with your 2-0?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good, solid first leg performance, isn't it? Like Anna says, don't concede. 2 goals in the lead. You'd like to back us 2-0 up anyway, wouldn't you? So I think that would give us confidence going into the second leg. Anything less than 2-0, you're going to be a bit jittery, aren't you, going over there?
I'm going 1-1. I've just got a funny feeling. I've just got a feeling that it's going to be difficult for the second leg.
I agree. Yeah.
But I'm going 1-1. I don't think it's one of them where we just go there and we expect to win at Villa Park. I think it's a quarter final now up against a good team. So I'm going 1-1.
One thing I think this could go all the way to penalties.
Oh, that sounds horrible. Neither do I, but...
I've just got a sneak. It feels that close, like you've just said, Luke, 1-1. It feels that tight. Two very similar sides, both fourth, both got strikers, both can score goals, both can see goals. Well, they don't, do they? Yeah.
What I would say is I feel like I probably should have made this point earlier. I do feel like how we perform in this game on Thursday, for me, if we come out and we perform well in this game, I'll feel confident that we're going to go and win the whole thing, which sounds ridiculous.
But yeah.
I just think like that will be it. Whereas if we really struggle, I'll be more nervous for the rest if we can do it.
Yeah. Right. Well, I'm sure there'll be fireworks before the game and smoke machines, and it's going to be a good atmosphere. So, yeah, right. We'll be back with our predicted lineup tomorrow then, and we'll go more in depth on how Lille play. So, cheers, everyone, for watching. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.